When I was growing up as a teenager, one of my favorite shows was the original Star Trek. The original Star Trek. Are there any other nerds out there? I mean, very highly intelligent people that are fans, and we do. Wow, we have a lot. I think one of the better episodes was entitled "Let This Be Your Last Battlefield." Let this be your last battlefield. And basically, to sum up the episode, the crew, it's a starship, futuristic. They're just on a mission when this disabled shuttlecraft comes near to them, and they bring in the shuttlecraft. And out comes clearly an alien. Alien comes in, and he declares himself a political refugee. He's seeking asylum aboard the Enterprise. The thing about it, it you visually will see, the most striking feature about this alien is that he's half black and half white. Like, completely. Like, right down the middle. Half black and half white. Mr. Spock, the science officer, says this is unique. I mean, this even in the universe, like, wow, like, you know, unique physiology. Well, shortly thereafter, they detect another shuttlecraft out there. He wants to come aboard, so he comes on aboard. And lo and behold, it's another alien that, guess what, is half black and half white. Exactly. It's half white, half black. And he's seeking the first guy. He is seeking and was going after him. Well, soon enough, it's evident that they hate each other. They're absolutely bitter towards one another. And they're yelling. And they're so upset. And Captain Kirk, he's like, hey, what's going on? You know, why are you so bitter? Why are you so angry? Why do you hate each other? And the pursuing alien, he's like, isn't it obvious? And Captain Kirk is like, what do you mean, is it obvious? And the alien says, hey, this guy I'm pursuing, he's white on the right side, and all his people are white on the right side. But of course, look at me. I'm white on the left side, and all my people are the same. And Captain Kirk is scratching his head at this point in time. Well, they start to argue about slavery and racial segregation. And again, they're up literally almost at each other's throats. Later in the episode, they find out during this time that their entire planet's population has been destroyed in a global war due to insane racial hatred. And they start blaming each other for what happened, and they literally start fighting. And because they're aliens and it's Star Trek, they have this energy and they're attacking each other, and it's gonna, Captain Kirk is worried about what's gonna happen with the ship. So he beams them down to a planet so they can maybe figure it out. Well, I think you might realize there's a moral point to the Star Trek episode. It was about racism. And the obvious example was, you know, skin color meant everything to them, and it divided them, and it became bitter, and it led to genocide of those people. So my message today is going through some aspects. You know, racism is a big word. It can mean different things to different people. But go through aspects of prejudice and discrimination, and we'll find out what the Bible says about it, because that's what we have to do. We have to go to the scriptures and find out what God's word says about it. So let me just give an overall definition. Again, racism, it involves prejudice. Prejudice, when you prejudge someone, not even knowing who they are, but because they're in a part of a group or a person, you've already made a decision what they're all about. Prejudice, discrimination, when you favor someone over another, again, based on race or ethnicity. Antagonism, based on someone of a particular racial or ethnic group, typically one that is a minority. And certainly it's been on my mind, I'm sure a lot of you, if not all of you, in light of events in this country. But, you know, we do have to ask, you know, what about us in God's church? You know, what are our attitudes? Every attitude, right or wrong, comes into the church. You know, at some point we enter into the church of God. And unfortunately, we bring in a lot of baggage. You know, that's just the way it is. We start and we're here to learn and grow and develop and understand God's word. And but we do bring things in. And sometimes wrong attitudes in this area can enter into the church. I've seen it. So it's not a surprise to me. But you know, our mission in God's church is to cooperate with God and overcome wrong attitudes, thinking that doesn't square with the scripture, and make progress. Now, discrimination, prejudice, racism comes in many forms. You know, it's not just limited to, you know, black-white divide. It can be white Hispanic, it can be black Hispanic. There was a school teacher in the church in New Jersey. He said the biggest problem in his high school was Hispanics and blacks just feuding with one another. It can enter into the field of religious beliefs. Hey, we're the majority religion and you're the minority. We don't like you. we don't like who you are. It can be religious. Really, any time there are minorities in a nation, it's human nature, fueled by Satan, to the majority to go after the minority. It happens in so many different ways, in different countries, at different times. It's always been around. It's always been around. Prejudice, it can be obvious, overt, but it can be subtle. It can be people that don't realize they have a bias based the way they were brought up and the way they think and what they were told. They might even realize, like, wow, you know, you're thinking the wrong way. You need to refocus. It can come in terms of omission, when someone or some group is just overlooked or not given equal treatment or ignored because, you know, it's the minority. You know, we're the majority, that's the minority. A simple definition of prejudice is you determine the character of another person in advance without really knowing the person. But you make conclusions. You make conclusions about them based on their race, their ethnicity, or their economic class. You prejudge. You prejudge. And guess what? The fruits are all bad. They're all bad when we do that. And it's definitely not in line with God's word. The fruits, you get inequity, you know, unfairness, favoritism, put downs, and of course it can get worse. It can come to hatred and brutality. But let's open up our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Let's go to the beginnings. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. We have Genesis 3, verse 20. Adam called his wife's name. His wife's name was Eve. I think we all understand that. Because she was the mother of all living. She was the mother of all living. I don't know if you've ever seen, I've seen some science articles that they have actually stated that all of the ethnicities that we see, or you might call them races, from a genetic standpoint, came from one woman. And it's like, yeah, that's right. Genesis 3:20. You know, the Bible was there first. Science, you know, came later. But that was just a wonderful confirmation of what we read in Genesis chapter 3:20. We know after the flood in Noah's time that the three sons of Noah and their wives, they became the foundation of the post-flood world. And so, you know, we conclude that, you know, Caucasians and Africans, Asians, you name it. If you think about it, it's really not different races per se, because there's just one race, right? It's the human race. It's the human race. You know, we're that's who we are. You could say there's different ethnicities that happen, and certainly we all basically, when you see a human being, like that's a human being. Hey, look at that, two legs and two arms and a head. And, but there can be facial characteristics and obviously skin color. But we're all of one race, and we all came from Mother Eve. That's what God tells us. I can personally understand how prejudice can come into the church, because I grew up with parents that had a lot of biases. You know, they were from the older days when it was really in the culture that people had a lot of open prejudice. And I absolutely absorbed that. I hated certain people that weren't like me. Again, I prejudged them. They were all evil to me. Big time. And a lot was based on the culture of that time. Not that was right, but it was a lot more inbred into the culture. You know, thankfully, as I grew up, it was like, well, no, I don't want to think that way. I don't want to have that kind of an attitude. And I definitely don't want to teach it to my children when we had children. But again, we can bring things into the church sometimes that we don't realize. And the point is that we make progress. We understand God's word. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And we do read, starting in verse 17, Deuteronomy 10, verse 17. The Lord your God is a God of gods, Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty, a terrible, meaning awesome, who regards not persons or takes reward. God's not looking for a bribe from anybody. He executes judgment of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the stranger. He loves the foreigner. He loves the immigrant. That's what God's saying in giving him food and raiment. Love you therefore the stranger, the foreigner, the immigrant. For guess what, Israel? Think back. You were strangers in the land of Egypt. You were there. You were slaves in Egypt. So don't ever forget that. When people come in from other lands, like you don't oppress them, you don't minimize them, but you love them. That's right from the Word of God. Now, of course, the Old Covenant dealt specifically with Israel. You know, God selected the 12 tribes of Israel; those were His people. But we know under the New Covenant that it was opened up to non-Israelites, or we could say Gentiles. And if we had time, we could go into that. Book of Acts shows that incredible time where the new covenant is opened up to all people. Now, the fruits of racism and prejudice, has led to serious sinfulness at all times, in all nations. It's a sin. It's a terrible part of man's history. And we can point to our own country. You know, maybe the low point in the U.S. Was the institution of slavery. You know, historians look back at the Civil War, and, you know, sometimes you don't think the Civil War, like Americans were killing one another. I mean, just, it's horrible. Americans killing one another. But basically two reasons behind it were states' rights, how powerful the states could be with the federal government, and of course slavery. Southerners wanted to preserve slavery, blacks who provided cheap labor right? Working in the cotton fields with backbreaking work. And they just became more like a commodity, like a chattel. And they were bought and sold. And that's the way things work. And as can be found, there's good slave owners and others absolutely harsh and brutal. And we know the history of that, of them, of the punishment. And it was legal. It was legally authorized violence. So if you beat up a slave, you would not get in trouble. It's like, hey, it's no big deal. You know, that's just the way things were. And it continued in America, until the passage of the 13th Amendment in 1865. You know, it's a long time from the founding of the nation, and it was there before the founding of the nation. But, you know, and we can, again, pick up a history book and see, or remember ourselves if we're older, the civil rights era and movement and protests and things of that nature. And again, it just tore the country apart in so many different ways. Again, that's the fruit. That is the fruit. It's the consequence of sin that can manifest itself even many decades later. The U.S. was not the only country to experience things of this nature, but sadly, it is a part of the history. Now, again, when we think about the Old Testament, God was dealing with Israel. But when outsiders entered into the nation, they were to be treated, again, like Israelites. Exodus 22, let's go through some of the statutes of God. Exodus chapter 22. Exodus 22 and verse 21. Here's a statute. You won't vex a stranger. You won't bother them. You won't harass a stranger, a foreigner, or oppress him. Again, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Chapter 23, next chapter in verse 9. You shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now we know in the Bible when things are repeated, you know, it's even like God really wants us to understand that and really get it. It's repeated a lot of times. And he's reminding them, don't make the mistakes that Egypt did, the slave masters. Don't be like that. Have a totally different attitude from them. Now, I do think that one of the problems that can be prevalent is for those of us like me, I've never experienced any kind of discrimination. But a problem can be when we lack empathy because others have, and we don't like get it. We don't get it because we never experienced it. But that's something I think we have to think about a lot, of people that have experienced it. How they feel and the wrongs done to them. We had a real quick example. We just had a Zoom meeting. We've had Zoom meetings at work. And my boss's boss is a senior vice president in the company, Fortune 500 company, and he's African American. And he held a special meeting just to talk about things. And he started out by things that like what? That his wife has had to bail him out of jail for not doing anything wrong, but he actually was arrested and put in jail more than once. That he had a gun to his head, and he said, in 3 to 5 seconds, I figured I'm dead. And he says, that's in addition to everything else that you can imagine African American might experience in their lifetime. It was pretty powerful. It was very powerful. But again, I've never personally experienced anything, but we can't think like that. We need to have empathy towards others. That's part of loving one another. We have to think what others went through and be sensitive and be empathetic as much as we can do. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy 24. And verse 14. Deuteronomy 24, 14. You shall not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he is of your brethren or, King James says, strangers that are in your land within your gates. Wow, here's talks about economics. Hey, don't give poor wages. Don't cheat someone who is needy, who you can easily manipulate. And that's not just your fellow Israelite. Those are people that come into the country, like immigrants. This is a statute of God. Verse 18, again, he's repeating this over and over. Remember, you were bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. I command you to do this thing. When you cut down your harvest in the field, verse 19, and you have a sheaf in the field, don't go in to get it again. Leave it there for first thing he mentions, the stranger. And then for the orphan, for the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. It's tough when you come into, I've never come into a country as an immigrant. So I don't know how it is, but others talk about it's so difficult. There's language issues. People just don't like you because you're from another country. I never experienced that, but so many have. It's sad part of human nature, like, you're not like me, and I kind of don't like you, and I'm going to prejudge you. But we can't be like that in God's church. We have to get any thoughts of that out of our mind. We need to be empathetic and sensitive. Now, we do see, we turn to the New Testament in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. How the head of the church, Jesus Christ, treated people. How did he react to, you might say, minority groups, so to speak? Luke 10, and we have the story of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. Luke 10, verse 25. A lawyer stood up, Luke 10, 25, tempted him to say, "Hey, Master, what will I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, what do you read in the law?" And he answered, and he said, "Well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And then Jesus said, "That's right. You've answered right, and you'll live." But it adds, "But he willing to justify himself, he asked Jesus, 'Well, who is my neighbor?'" I mean, let's go into some definitions here. You know, and maybe he was thinking, you know, fellow Israelites, and who cares about the rest of the people. But he definitely had a problem, and Jesus knew it. So he has a story in verse 30 about a man came down from Jericho, from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, stripped him of his clothes, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And then a priest comes by chance, sees it, and, "Hey, I got better things to do. I gotta get to the temple. No time to deal with this. Don't want to get involved." Likewise, a Levite, when he was there, he also just did not look, didn't help. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was, and he saw him, and he had compassion on him. He had compassion. He bound up his wounds, etc. He gave economic support. And verse 36, Jesus said, "Okay, you have three examples. What do you think was a neighbor that, you know, which of these was really a neighbor?" And then he said, "Well, the one that showed mercy." And Jesus said, "That's right. Go and do likewise." Be merciful. And, you know, we have to understand who the Samaritans were. They really were hated by the native Israelites. What happened was when the 10 tribes went north into captivity in Assyria, Some stayed back. They intermarried with Assyrians, so they kind of were like a mixed race, you know. And the purebred in their minds, Jews were like, these people are horrible. We hate them. We hate all the Samaritans, and you know, felt they were horrible people. That was the reaction for a Samaritan. But here Jesus uses that as, yeah, even a Samaritan, right? Don't prejudge a Samaritan. He's the only one in the story that exercised mercy. Like, think about it. That, I'm sure that's what the gentleman needed to hear about the Samaritans. But Jesus is very, very wise, and he told that story to get it into the guy's head. You know, there's a lot of forms of oppression of others. A big topic, you know, how women have been oppressed through the centuries, you know, put down and mistreated in so many different ways. This is getting a little off track, but still it's in the area of discrimination and oppression. Let's go to Matthew 15, just another example of Jesus. Matthew 15. He meets the woman at the well who was a Gentile. And basically the disciples were saying, hey, tell her to go away, because she started to really approach Jesus, and she had a demon. And the disciples were just telling her to go away. I mean, she's a woman. But Jesus said, hey, I'm here, you know, I'm here for Israel. He had to bring the new covenant to the people of Israel. And she worshiped him, though, verse 25. And she said, help me. And he said, well, it's not fit to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, if we stop there, you might say, wow, Jesus was racist. But, I mean, no, he wasn't. But that's how it was characterized, you know, a Gentile woman. That was like two strikes against you right there, Gentile and a woman. But she said, you know, Lord, you're true, but you know, the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall out of the master's table. And then Jesus said, woman, great is your faith, be it unto you as you will. And he made her whole that very hour. This is a breakthrough, you know, for that time, certainly that time, to actually take time and talk to a woman and then have respect to her for how she interacted with you. And she was also, again, she was a Gentile. That's the mind of Jesus. That's the mind of God. You know, no respecter of persons. We also find James 2. We also, there can be discrimination in terms of social class. Again, different forms that things can take. James chapter 2. What a powerful book this is. James chapter 2. Let's see what James had to say, the brother of Jesus. Verse 1, it says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. If someone comes into your assembly or your synagogue or you're in the church, right? A man has a gold ring, he's dressed, you know, three-piece suit, whatever, you know, is great at this time. And there's also a poor man comes in, tattered clothing. But you have respect to him that is, you know, dressed wonderfully, looks very successful. And you give him the best seat in the house. But you tell the poor guy, yeah, there's a seat, like, we keep walking. Keep walking toward the back, because we don't want that in the church. We don't want that in the synagogue, seeing someone like you. James says, are you impartial in yourselves? You become judges of evil thoughts. You've made a judgment as to the character, that someone is rich is better than someone who is poor. He says, listen, beloved brethren, verse 5, has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which is promised to them that love him? But you've despised the poor. He says, don't rich men oppress you? draw you before the judgment seat? And he says in verse 8, if you fulfill the royal law according to scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. You're convicted of the law as transgressors. It's pretty powerful. It's a sin to have those attitudes. It's not just, I'm having a bad day, or that's part of my personality. No, it's a sin that we need to repent of. Strong words. There was a Washington Post article a few years ago that reported on recent studies into the nature of prejudice. And it found that almost everyone harbors biases. And these attitudes even affect those who actively resist them. A University of Kentucky psychologist says that much of our self-esteem comes from feeling better about ourselves than about others because of the group that we belong to. So it's like part of human nature. We're part of this group, whatever group that is. We're kind of better than the other group. And the saddest thing I've ever seen in that is Church of God groups, you know, putting down other Church of God groups. It's absolutely horrible. But it's a facet of human nature. If we harbor that, we've got to get rid of that. Let's go to Galatians 2. Galatians 2. We'll sum this up. You know, I mentioned that wrong attitudes can come into the church because we bring them in. But I actually can say that racial prejudice was a fact in the early church. And guess who was at the focus of this? Peter the Apostle. What happened here? Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Peter came to Antioch, and this is Paul's writing, and Paul said, I withstood him to the face. I got in his face. What, Peter? Because he was to be blamed. Blamed for what? For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But then when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them of the circumcision. This is an amazing account. You know, Peter was the one who God used to bring in Gentiles into the church. But he fell back into, wow, you know, Gentiles, you know, that's kind of the dogs. We, you know, don't eat with them. We have nothing to do with them. We're Israelites and they're Gentiles. He actually fell back into this. It's incredible, but I think it shows how deep it can be in us. And Paul got in his face and said, what are you doing? Peter, what are you doing? And especially verse 13, the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also impacted. Barnabas, the son of consolation, he was being influenced by Peter because, hey, Peter's doing it. Peter's an original disciple. He's an apostle. Wow, Peter, you know, walking on water briefly. and Paul said, you got to get rid of this. And you know, later on, it's clear that, you know, Peter had seen the error of his ways and had repented of that. But it just shows you a pretty powerful example of how this can be ingrained. So let's never assume that we do not harbor any kind of bias or prejudice against any person or group. Ask God to show us where we need to change. Necessary. You know, Jesus taught us clearly that we need to love one another. You know, since God is impartial and he loves us with impartiality, we obviously need to love one another with the same high standard. If we do treat a person, you know, any other way than really loving them, that's someone made in God's image, and we can be hurting someone whom God loves and for whom Christ died. So let's root out all potential prejudicial attitudes from us. Let's strive to love others inside and outside of the church as God's words teaches us.